Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. State lawmakers have completed their first round of five committee weeks leading up to the start of Florida's 2018 legislative session, which officially kicks off on January 9th. That first week of meetings was delayed due to the impacts of Hurricane Irma, and lawmakers still have plenty of prep work ahead of them, but before the session begins. But our preview of what will likely be next year's hot-button issues is beginning to take shape. WGCU's legislative specialist John Davis joins us now for a closer look at discussions that could dominate this year's session and what to expect from members of our region's state legislative delegation. Welcome back, John.
Oh, of course. Happy to be here.
We're talking about next year's legislative session, and you can become part of the conversation, too, by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, John, we know the only thing that state lawmakers are constitutionally required to do in the annual legislative session is to pass a balanced budget. But that's probably going to be tough this year. What do the budget projections tell us so far about what lawmakers are going to be working with?
Well, projections for the 2018 session initially, and bear in mind this was before Hurricane Irma hit, were that we'd only have about $52 million and as far as a surplus for new projects. I know $52 million isn't, you know, a small amount of money to turn your nose up at, but when you consider the current budget that lawmakers passed this year is nearly $82.5 billion, that's really not very much extra money
at all. That's a small percentage.
Very small. And it's really a far cry from the nearly billion-dollar budget surplus that lawmakers were projected to enjoy going into the legislative session in 2015, just a few years ago. So a very different picture from what we've seen in recent years past. The state's chief economist, Amy Baker, reiterated our kind of precarious situation for Senate budget drafters during that first committee week last week. And this is going to be the third year running now of a very meager outlook regarding any new spending. And, you know, it's going to make it really difficult for lawmakers to justify getting any kind of money for new projects or specifically for projects that are going to only impact some initiative in their own district.
So how's the projected cost of this hurricane and the recovery efforts going to impact this budget? I mean, that's going to just add to the pile of what they have to spend.
Yeah, that's kind of what's taken us from bad to worse. We went from having a projected $52 million surplus to now with, you know, money projected for ongoing Irma recovery costs, we're firmly in the red with a projected more than $145 million deficit. That includes nearly $142 million that's been spent so far. A lot of that was through money that was spent because of emergency declarations by the governor. And the largest chunk of that money that's been spent so far was the $36 million that's been spent on debris removal. And as I know you well know, that's still a long way ahead till we finish that as well.
Oh, it's still out in front of my house.
Exactly.
I'm looking at it every day. Like, oh, there it is still. Mm-hmm. We could also be feeling a little bit of a pinch from the other hurricane, Hurricane Maria, here in Florida, even though it didn't hit our state.
You know, that's absolutely right. That's something that we really don't have any figures on. But so far, more than 32,000 individuals from Puerto Rico have arrived in Florida. And you know, we really just don't have any clear projections at this time on how this influx is going to impact state budget projections. And I do want to go back to when it comes to Irma. There is a little light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the promise of reimbursements from FEMA, from the federal government. But, you know, that remains very much to be seen. We know that Florida is still trying to get reimbursed from FEMA for storm recovery costs related to hurricanes that hit the state more than a decade ago. So no one's really thinking that this federal money is necessarily going to come in time to make that much of a difference as far as planning out the budget a year ahead.
Yeah. I mean, waiting for a deposit to go into your checking account balance, you know, if it's not there, it's not there. And you write that hot check and
right,
you have a
right.
problem, right?
Yes, yes. And this is just direct recovery costs we're talking about here. This doesn't even bring in to play, you know, the devastating loss to Florida's, you know, many facets in agriculture. There we're looking at $2.5 billion projected in damage to ranchers and farmers. That number comes from Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam, and he's characterized the losses across the board as catastrophic. So how lawmakers are going to work to perhaps mitigate impacts to Florida ranchers and farmers also remains to be seen. And again, where is the money going to come from to do it?
Yeah, I don't get that. It seems strange that we had such a budget surplus before, just a few years ago, and now we're only working with less than a percent, it seems like, as a budget surplus going into pre hurricane devastation. It's going to be tight.
Yes, it's going to be tight.
And there's and even if we do have money coming from the federal government to the state, it still may or may not appear, and it may take a while to get here.
It's not something that lawmakers can responsibly put into their budget projections.
Yeah, you can't bank on it, really.
Yeah, until you've got that money in hand or some kind of – I mean, right now what you have is a whole lot of claims.
A lot of IOUs too.
Yeah. You've got IOUs. And I'm not talking about individual claims. I'm talking about claims from municipalities, from the state itself that we just – no decision has been made on them yet. They're still being considered.
And I know when I talked with the FEMA representative, he was talking about the difference between public aid, public assistance, and individual assistance. And then
Right. They
make all the individual decisions, you know, based on the individual's needs. And then I'm wondering if they make the same – have the same parameters with a public assistance thing. Because when I talked to him about individual assistance, he said, we don't make people 100% whole again. We just get them back on their feet. I wonder if they look at municipalities in the same way in those public assistance grants. I wonder if it's just going to get these municipalities back on their feet or if they actually make those infrastructure things whole or not. That remains to be seen. It's kind of tough getting answers.
Right. I don't think qualified to delve into the minutiae of that at this time either, but that could be a future conversation.
Asked that question and I couldn't really even get an answer. It was really tough.
Yeah.
I asked that and I just still didn't – it's really tough to get straight answers right now out of that. So let's look away from that and take a look at some other hot button issues that you think that we're going to see here in the next legislative session besides just the budget.
You know, what first came to my mind is going to be, you know, addressing the opioid crisis here in Florida. Earlier this year, the federal government approved $27 million in emergency funds to address that crisis. Now, that money is for medication-assisted treatments, so for folks who were taking drugs like methadone or buprenorphine to try to wean off of the powerful opiates. Those federal funds cannot be used for things like long-term inpatient treatment, though, so that's something that lawmakers may be looking to address as well. We're likely to continue seeing measures introduced from both sides of the aisle related to firearm regulation. Also, environmental issues are always a top concern for Floridians. In 2017, I can't imagine would be any exception there. Issues surrounding funding and transparency of the state's tourism marketing arm, Visit Florida, that dominated this current year's session. And I think that's going to come back to bite us again this year, given some recent revelations that just took place last week that came up as a result of investigations by the Naples Daily News. We can get into that a little bit later. Also, of course, after Hurricane Irma, we saw the high-profile deaths of 14 elders in a Hollywood Hills nursing care facility from heat-related illness, and this was because that facility lost power. And so that's something that you're hearing a lot of lawmakers talk about now is taking a closer look at how we regulate nursing homes and assisted living facilities and how we can prevent tragedies like this from happening in the future.
Yeah, so specifically looking at the opioid addiction and overdose crisis issue, lawmakers at the end of last year, they went into special session and then ended up passing the budget that included money only for the medical, the way to address the opioid addiction with just the pharmaceutical angle.
Right.
And that ended up leaving a lot of federal monies no longer coming to the state for other mental health care and all of the other things that kind of go around that just give them a pill and they're no longer physically addicted, but it doesn't treat the other issues around that. And I remember we talked with Salus Care about that a couple months ago when that kind of came to light. It seemed like it caught a lot of lawmakers by surprise.
It did seem to, although I do remember talking with members of our local statewide delegation ahead of the 2017 legislative session, and the opioid crisis was on everybody's lips. So it's definitely something that people know to talk about. They know it's something that Floridians are concerned with. But I think it remains to be seen those solutions really getting put into place to address treatment that's not medication-based.
Yeah. There's more. When we talked with the people from Salus Care and David Lawrence Center, there's more than just making someone no longer physically addicted, and the funding for that being cut is going to be tough for them.
And that's where the funding hole is right now. Governor Scott's budget priorities for the coming session include $50 million to fight opioid abuse, and that includes a cap on most prescriptions at a three-day supply. And half of that money is actually going to come from that federal grant I mentioned earlier, and it really kind of remains to be seen specifically how Governor Scott wants the rest of that $50 million to be distributed. distributed. But just this whole idea of capping prescriptions at 3 days, you know, I've spoke with folks about it, about, you know, the effectiveness of such a policy. Lee Health emergency room physician Dr. Aaron Wall actually testified before committees last week, and he was saying how this isn't really a bad idea, but it's not going to halt the problem because right now, you know, what's really driving it is illicit drugs like heroin, illicitly manufactured fentanyl. So these are things that aren't going to be addressed by limiting your legitimate prescription supply.
Exactly. And then you end up with lawmakers making medical decisions, you know, which is an unusual step to take, although it is a big issue and it is kind of a critical situation right now. Let's talk real quick before we run out of time about environmental issues. They're such a big deal for state lawmakers. Are we seeing any proposed action in 2018 yet?
Yes. Senator Dana Young has refiled her proposal to ban fracking in the state. This comes as no surprise. This was the primary issue that she campaigned and won her seat on in the first place. So not surprised to see that coming back. And then, of course, there's always these issues about how we fund land conservation and restoration issues. You know, in the pre-recession years, the legislature would fund the Florida Forever program to the tune of some $300 million every year. We haven't been getting anything like that in recent years. Environmental advocates are you know, pushing strongly for, you know, dedicated sources of funding for these things. I've heard of one group called Florida Water Advocates, and they want local groundwater and wastewater projects to be funded differently. Right now, lawmakers have to try and get an appropriation for an individual product. It's all done over the course of years, and it's very piecemeal. And they're saying, why aren't we looking at this the same way we do transportation projects where we have a statewide 5-year plan and a dedicated funding source? I haven't seen anything specifically proposed to address that, but I definitely think it's an interesting idea, and it's interesting to consider funding land and water conservation and water infrastructure projects in a way that we do a lot
roads
of other
and bridges.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All other kinds of infrastructure projects, because
right.
those things are perennially going to be a part of our life, and so is the environment. That is an interesting take. It'll be interesting to see if somebody takes that. Are there any other bills that have been filed so far by members of our local Southwest Florida delegation?
There's some interesting ones I've been looking at. Senator Kathleen Pasadomo, she's filed a number of bills. One of them she's co-sponsored with Lauren Book, would require the Agency for Healthcare Administration to establish a pilot project to license one or more facilities to treat infants suffering from neonatal abstinence syndrome. I can't wait to talk to her and just find out more of the details about what that would do and how that came up on her radar. Lizbeth Beniquisto, Fort Myers senator, she's filed a bill to prohibit the issuance of marriage licenses to anyone under the age of 18. Again, don't know much about the backstory on that one, so I'm anxious to find out more. Senator Greg Stubbe, Senator Pasadomo, is one of the most prolific bill filers, and I think actually in 2017 he got more of his bills passed than any other state legislator. But he's got a number of bills too. One relates to allowing people to carry guns from their cars to a courthouse. But, you know, he's also known for filing those, less restrictive gun policy.
Those are going to get watched very closely, especially after Las Vegas.
Especially after Vegas. And there's a bill that's been filed to ban the sale and possession of
the bump stocks?
Yes, the bump stocks, correct.
Yeah.
Which, of course, we know that the shooter in Vegas used to fire more bullets in a shorter period of time.
All right. Well, I look forward to tracking our legislative session as it comes closer with you throughout the year, John.
Absolutely.
So that was WGCU Legislative Specialist John Davis with a preview of the 2018 state legislative session. Coming up next, we'll have a talk with a man whose Clean Water for Haiti organization is making strides to change all of that with one home filter at a time. I'm Julie Glenn, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.